It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farah. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll find out why polka is such an enduring part of the Midwest's musical landscape.
First, Congress may be closing the door on its last budget face-off with President Obama. Late last night, congressional leaders released a two-year budget plan negotiated by Democrats and Republicans that would raise the borrowing limit and increase spending by $8 million.
The deal would avert a debt default that the Treasury Department said would happen by November 3rd. It also clears the way for likely Speaker-to-be Paul Ryan to focus on issues other than the debt ceiling as he prepares to lead the House. Here with us to talk about the budget deal is Paul Singer, Washington correspondent at USA Today. Paul, welcome back.
Of course, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, a budget deal, how and who? How did this happen?
Well, it has been underway for a couple of months, very quietly. Leadership in the House and the Senate, bipartisan leadership in the House and the Senate, have been meeting with the White House trying to work out a deal. And it was very clear that John Boehner, who is departing as Speaker of the House, wanted to, as he says, clean out the barn, get a bunch of stuff done before he leaves at the end of this week, and your own Wisconsin's Paul Ryan becomes the next Speaker.
And was that a key to this deal, that Boehner was on the way out so he didn't have anything to lose? He didn't have to fear any punishment?
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, one of the keys to the deal is that, you know, Boehner has nothing to lose. He is able to basically put together a package that a majority of Democrats will support, possibly even all of them, and enough minority of the Republicans will support to get the bill passed. And it buys 2 years. The way this deal is structured, the major components, that is, budget targets and debt ceiling, are both extended for a couple of years. And so, you know, the next Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, doesn't have to grapple over these issues starting fresh out the gate.
Yeah, right. How many times have we talked over the last couple of years about the next upcoming debt ceiling deadline? It gets bumped back a couple months here, 6 months
right there.
This time, if this passes, we'll go a couple years without that conversation?
Yeah, and smartly, they've actually suspended the debt ceiling until March 2017, meaning that they get it past the elections entirely, and Congress will have to grapple with this thing essentially the furthest they will ever be from an election, you know, 20 months before an actual election. So that's about as good as it gets.
So what are the key details in this budget as it exists now?
Oh, I wish I knew. I mean, the short version is there will be about $80 billion in increased spending that's divided between defense and non-defense programs. The whole issue here has been that we've been operating under what they call the sequester, these sort of government-wide spending caps that have become just too restrictive. The Republicans wanted more spending on defense. The Democrats wanted more spending on domestic programs. They basically split the baby. They added $80 billion and said half for each over the next 2 years. The other thing it did that's really sort of interesting is there's a more or less a technical change to Social Security, where they're moving some money out of the Social Security Trust Fund to cover a shortfall or a pending shortfall in Social Security disability. And this is being sort of marked by Republicans as their great victory in this deal, that they get the first major reform to Social Security in 30 years. There's some changes in disability qualifications, a little more strict, particularly on disability applications. So they're saying, we have won something in exchange for raising the debt ceiling. Well, the Democrats, of course, are saying debt ceiling was a totally separate thing. There was no negotiation about that at all.
And Democrats were worried about changes to that Social Security disability benefit. I've seen some quotes from some of those Democrats saying, it's not so bad.
Right. Right. In fact, yesterday, when this thing first emerged, there was some immediate outrage on the left, like, oh, you can't, you know, balance the budget on the backs of our seniors. But having now looked at it again, they said, well, you know, all things considered, this is not bad. But I think ultimately they would argue they want bigger benefits, not smaller. But this is also not the grand deal. I mean, the longer-term conversation that still has to go on at some point is the growth of entitlements is still going to be bankrupting us. It's just over the next couple of years, they figured out a way to declare a small victory.
Talking to Paul Singer from USA Today about this new budget deal reached by congressional leaders. Let's get to some of the reaction here. Now, this, as you say, it's been going on for a while. It was the leadership, future likely leadership. Paul Ryan has been among those saying, I don't know about the deal, but I don't like the process. Has that been a common theme in some of the reactions you've been seeing?
Yes, although, I mean, even John Boehner today gave a press conference where he said, I didn't like the process either. You know, this is not the way we're supposed to govern. But given the circumstances we were in, there was really no choice. Some of the Democrats today made fun of Paul Ryan, saying, hey, this is basically the same process he engaged in a couple of years ago when we had the last fiscal cliff deal. Again, you go behind closed doors, you do a little bit of horse trading, you drop it on your colleagues with no time to argue, and that has to pass. That's kind of the way Congress works. Now, Ryan is swearing it won't be that way under Speaker Ryan, but we shall see.
Easier said than done, it sounds like.
Correct.
And now how about the Freedom Caucus, the group people point to for John Boehner's downfall as Speaker? Are they going to support this thing? Are they going to oppose it? If they oppose it, are they going to be enough to scuttle it?
I don't think they'll be enough to scuttle it. They will definitely oppose it. They'll oppose it both on the grounds that it raises spending and on the grounds that the process was lousy. I don't think at this point there'll be enough of them to scuttle it because all the Democrats are going to support it. But it is, I think, telling that they're going to try and have this vote before they vote for the Speaker of the House. They don't want, that is, you know, Boehner and the Republicans who are backing this deal don't want this to be something that Paul Ryan has to get bloodied over. They'd like this to be done out of the way before he takes the gavel.
Now, what about all the objections over Planned Parenthood and the federal budget? Is this just not a part of this and not an issue right now?
It's not in this conversation. Now, I will say that the way this works, this is a budget agreement. It is not actually all the spending bills. The spending bills, the reason this was critical is that you have to sort of set the levels for where the spending bills will be, and this is what the bill does. The spending bill still has to be finished by the end of December, or middle of December, and there's still a possibility for arguments over stuff like that, the policy riders that don't actually change the number. So we'll see when that comes back around, but for the time being, that is not part of the conversation today.
Well, but with the debt ceiling fixed until, as you said, I think spring of 2017, does that mean these arguments will not include the word shutdown?
It does not, actually.
Oh.
You could still shut the government down. In theory, come December, an argument could still ensue over some provision that says, you know, thou shalt not spend any money on Planned Parenthood, or you know, pick your topic. And you could come to a showdown where they fail to pass or refuse to pass some portion of the spending bills over that policy dispute, and that would conceivably shut the government down, or at least whatever portion of it they're arguing over. We'll see. I don't think anybody wants to do that this time around, and that's why they are getting this budget deal passed, but it is plausible.
And finally, Paul, this agreement, again, if it passes, does it take some of these issues, the debt ceiling, things like that, off of the presidential political trail, maybe issues that nobody was sure they could win on?
Yeah, we'll find out on Wednesday night, of course, because the Republicans will have another debate. And at that debate, which is all about economics, we can expect some discussion of why this proves that, you know, I don't know, somebody did something wrong, and why the next president will be better. It certainly doesn't give them any opportunity to sort of stand in the way of progress, as it were, but it does give them something they can yell about being done badly.
Paul, thanks. Always good to talk to you.
My pleasure. Have a great day, Rob.
We've been talking to Paul Singer, Washington correspondent at USA Today, about the federal budget deal announced last night.